Please have a seat.
Oh, we're going to get started 10 seconds early. What we're talking about now is the Track 5 Grand Challenges. Sri Ram is going to present, along with Ernie Lusher and Alden Dima. Folks on the phone, please mute until you have a comment during question and answer. Ram?
Let's see how this looks here. Okay.
I'll click on
slides here.
Slides, okay. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Again, thank you, Leo. And this session is the Grand Challenges track number 5. And the coaches of this track are myself, Ernie, here, and Alden. Actually, it kind of started, Steve Ray wanted all this, a track that kind of takes ideas from the rest of all the tracks that you have heard and then pose it as a grand challenge kind of issue. We kind of talked with Ernie at the time, and Ernie had this great idea of dishing out $10 million. No, I'm just kidding. He'll talk about it later on anyway. So we came up with this Grand Challenges track. And then the way I'm going to present this is going to be slightly different than what you have seen in the previous tracks, because in terms of the grand challenge kind of things, what is a grand challenge? Grand challenge problem is the key issue. And you know, one can keep going on and talking and on this thing. So keeping within Fabian rules, I'll try to keep to the subject here, okay? We had, actually the idea here was the following. We posed this to the experts in this area that for each domain that you need to summarize the current state of the art and determine the gaps that hinder real-world ontology application and enumerate some actions need to be taken to overcome these gaps. And then brainstorm some ideas for a grand challenge problem. So we had the following, we had about 6 speakers or so. And this, and here, I think you can go to the Ontology Summit website and you can see the speakers and their bios. Can everyone hear me here? Or? Yeah. I find, just like Todd, I find it very hard to kind of stick to this thing, my mouth to this device here, but that's, I'm more mobile. Now, here is another problem. It decided that it'll do something else. And that's a grand challenge problem, too. So there were 3 domains that were identified here. The domains were healthcare, social networks, and homeland security. I'm not going to talk about all these domains, but I'll talk about healthcare first, and then depending on what time we have, we'll go through the other domains. And the idea here is the following, that I believe everyone here watched Jeopardy beat the two, Jeopardy where Watson beat these two champions. We'll talk a little bit about that, and let me see. Talk about this Watson, IBM's Watson. It was built by this IBM to advance this question answering techniques. It won against 2 previous Jeopardy champions, but it happens it lost to one of our congressmen, Rush Holt. So you know we got very smart people in the Congress. Jeopardy couldn't beat the guy. Mm-hmm. And he's actually, I think he's a physicist, PhD in physics or something. So it kind of uses a technique called hypothesize, score, and rank. When someone asks a question, like where is Ontology Summit going to take place, okay, it kind of hypothesizes that it's going to be at NEST first. Okay, and it could be at University of Maryland, or it could be in Timbuktu too. So it takes all these 3 things and says, okay, let me rank those things. So it ranks them based on some probabilistic method. And then what it does is that it uses some kind of an ontology, we don't know exactly what it is, but to test these hypotheses as such, okay? So that's Watson in a nutshell. So you all know about Watson, how it works, okay? So now what I'm gonna do is that based on the talks by Chris Welty and Elliot Siegel kind of see, speculate how Watson is going to do, what Watson is going to do in the healthcare world. So here is a little bit, a small scenario, and it will be nice if we can animate it, but PDF has got its own way of doing things anyway. So some people are getting sick all over the place. This is in Wichita. So there's a lot of some people presenting all kinds of symptoms and things like that. So you know, it's not working either, I guess. Let me use this thing here. So in terms of the presentation, so what you do is that you kind of send the take the blood sample, send the electronic health records, and send it to a laboratory where you do some microRNA analysis and all kinds of things. And you get the DNA profiles of this. And then you go ahead to the internet, search for DNA and homologs and possible pathogens that could cause this disease. Then once you do that, then you identify the agent which is causing the disease and the disease. In this case, the agent is mice and the disease is and the virus that is causing it is Synombre virus. And you also have these pathways of pathogen action. After that, you characterize the disease and take appropriate action, and you can also see there are a lot of medical images that are being generated. And then once you do that, you come up with this eradication and treatment plan, and that's where you go as such. So look at some of the things here, and think about the talks which were in the morning. One thing is that one issue here is in terms of electronic health records, and that's to do with interoperability of information from here to here. And the second major task here is in terms of the search. So interoperability, we have search. So you've got to search across these databases, which are all across the globe, and then you're going to get this information. And then after search, you do what is known as inference. Okay, so you're doing interoperability, search, inference kind of thing. And then you do something else around here in terms of those images that you've got to understand the images that are coming out. And there's some notion of annotation, this annotated images, and the images have some meaning, and you've got to understand that too. And then again you have inference and other things which you, and then you plan, and then you act on the plan that you've generated. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. And John Shrava here says that this is the original AI problem, but I think it is an AI problem in a sense, but then that's a grand challenge problem as such. And AI is a component of that. And one of the things in all these things that will happen, that we need to do, is the notion of terminologies and ontologies, the binding kind of things across this entire cycle that I showed you in the scenario. Okay? Let me see. So you'll see all the things that we have heard before can be applied to this grand challenge problem. So if you look at the future healthcare vision as such, there are several things that are taking place here. One is the advances in healthcare technology. You can see the Human Genome Project, the pharmaceuticals and nutraceuticals and things like that. The healthcare technology itself is advancing. And then you have advances in healthcare practice like disease management, evidence-based healthcare, and so on. And then you have advances in computing, imaging, and information technology. And you can see this internet-based software, storage, and communication mechanisms. So this the software, storage, and communication mechanisms. And that will lead to the future health vision. And what we're really interested in this, in this little guy here called Dr. Watson. And if you go to the internet and you type Dr. Watson, you get this little guy there, okay? So Dr. Watson is what we're going to focus on today as a grand challenge kind of thing. And that's him anyway. Let me see. So what would Dr. Watson do as such, okay? So here is what we're going to present to Dr. Watson. This is a case study. It happens all the time in medical world. Siegel was talking about is Dr. Watson has got two roles, one in the medical school, and after that, people graduate and go out and they become real doctors, okay? I don't know if the medical students are pseudo-doctors anyway. But you go out and become a real doctor, and you all have been to doctors. I guess all of you have been to a doctor. If not, there is something interesting going on here that we need to figure out, okay? So you go there, and you kind of present this case study to the doctor. This either in medical school or after medical school anyway. So when you do this thing, what happens is, you look at that, okay, it says, I don't want to read the whole thing, but there is here an African-American lady who's about, I don't know, what is her age, probably somewhere in that, but she has this problem where goes to the emergency department with constipation, and she has this dysphagia is not able to swallow kind of thing, and heavy weight loss. You know, there's some fundamental principles going on around here, and there's some checkups and things like that, and this is what the doctors do, some kind of tests. So what you do is that you take this kind of a thing and give it to Dr. Watson. Now what Dr. Watson does is goes to something like this here. This is the principle. principles of internal medicine, by the way. This is what doctors are supposed to learn by the time they finish their medical school. And it's 3,000 pages thick, okay? And it's about 100 megabytes or so if it's on a computer, apparently, okay? So if you go to this particular book here, what you do is that one way you can do is that you can infer there is something to do with that lack of iron around here because he's suffering from anemia and things like that. You can go to the index and see what are the diseases associated with lack of anemia. And then there are about three places that the thing appears as such, okay? Now, in fact, the interesting part is that if you ask the internist what the disease is, most internists actually wouldn't know this thing. And the reason why they don't know this thing is there's a disease involved with malnutrition and things like that. And that doesn't really happen around here in the United States. In a third world country, they'll immediately figure out, but here you have a problem. So Watson-like system will go and kind of tell you that, hey, this is something called Plummer-Vinson syndrome, whatever that means, okay? So that is the syndrome that what this disease is attached to. And you try, actually what you should do is next time when you go to the internist, just take the case study and just show it to him just in a matter of, see if the guy knows it or not. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
If that came up in 3 seconds in Google.
Google?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Google probably got something like this pretty fast, okay? Because it probably has on the thing as such, okay? So, Google beat Watson, okay? That's interesting. But anyway, I'm just talking as an example. And if you give some iron deficiency and things like that, Google may get it as such, but things may become a little more complicated. This is just a simple example, okay? Something which I had to come up for this for today, okay? Anyway, so if to actually do things like this, really what one needs to do is that you have to kind of come up with these key concepts such as iron deficiency, anemia, dysphagia, and esophageal webs. And then you get into this Dr. Watson, who is going to probably use these things, gastrointestinal ontology, that's an input-output system ontology. Take something in, comes out, okay? And then hematological ontology, which is to do with the blood stuff and things like that. So it has to have several kinds of ontology before it comes to these kinds of things. So you can well imagine in terms of the challenge as such. In fact, there are two things around here in terms of the grand challenge problem and the challenge for ontologies per se as such. So what does it involve to build ontologies in all these things? Yeah. Go ahead.
As part of the grand challenge, especially in the context of something like healthcare and other issues, similar situations where lives are at stake, what about the provenance of the decisions that are made? Is that part of the grand challenge? Yes, I can come to some inference, but you know, if I'm talking to a doctor, I can ask the doctor, well, how'd you come to that? I can probe them, I can query them. They'll then demonstrate to me why they think that that's the conclusion.
Yeah.
So as part of the grand challenge, is the ability
inference.
To provide the provenance of decisions there also?
Yeah. The inference is important out there. In terms of the sequence of actions, decisions that have been made have to be recorded somewhere. Yeah. So Watson will be able to tell you exactly what it did. Like it says, I did Google, and then when I went to the Google, I immediately found it for you as such. Okay, I Googled the thing.
But Google doesn't tell me how it came to that conclusion.
Google doesn't tell you, but then if you, yeah.
But in this case, in other similar situations, you want to know how that that decision was arrived at, because maybe someone just made a wrong decision, or there was equally weighted information and they chose one set instead of the other, and oops, that was wrong, you know, so you want to be able to know that.
Yeah, one of the things that happens in medicine is it's like damned if you did, damned if you didn't kind of thing. Like many times you go to a doctor and the doctor does some tests, and if you do those tests, those unnecessary tests kind of thing, the medical insurance people may not pay for it, but if you don't do the tests and the patient dies, the lawyers will make you pay for it, okay? So this is the kind of thing and it's a pretty tricky situation as such. And these kinds of things, keeping track of all the inference in there is useful. It's useful both for the doctors and the lawyers too, because the lawyers can dig it out and say, okay, here's the thing. But anyway, so there's a lot of issues involved in there in terms of the medical field. It's not only to do with getting the information and things like that. There's a whole lot of issues dealing with the lawyers and so on and so forth. So this whole socio-political, economic, whatever it is, situations going on in there. And the other thing that happens in the medical field is this notion of these images. In fact, I didn't show you actually what happens in most of these cases is that the images are presented to the doctors. So that's why maybe you can do that in Google too. Present an image and it does some semantic search or something like that on these images and kind of identifies what the issues are. And that's a pretty big challenge to the thing. And then there's this whole notion of medical vocabularies. In fact, there are a lot of them. There are, in fact, too many of them. And everyone seems to come up with their own medical vocabulary. How do you reconcile these things? How do you integrate between these medical vocabularies?
There's this notion of systems medicine where you're integrating genomics and clinical system. That's one of the challenge too. Now, there are two things in here. One is a challenge problem as such in terms of the healthcare, and within the healthcare domain, what are the challenges for ontologists per se? So these are the two ways, two things that we talked about. Let me see. The other one is the one which Ramesh Jain talked about. Actually, this is a pretty interesting thing as such. It's really the network-centric societies. That's what we are evolving. Now, if you look at the network-centric societies, we all have our personal devices, communication, mobile communication devices. And in fact, we see people carrying iPads and iPhones and things like that. It so happens, I was in India about a month ago, I see a lot of people carrying iPhones and iPads. Yeah. So, and what Ramesh Jain claims is that, let me see here, there are about, if you look at the world as such, you have, I don't know how many billion people there, 6 billion approximately, okay? And out of that, the top of the pyramid are about 1.5 billion people in terms of the Western nations and all the rich nations and things like that. And then there's a bottom of the pyramid, very poor nations like both in India and Africa and those countries, the bottom 2 billion. And there are about 3 billion people who are called the middle of the pyramid. And these 3 billion people actually carry iPhones and iPads, are going to carry iPad. Although Steve is both Steve's iPad, I don't know where it falls under, but maybe under the top 1.5 billion. So in other words, Steve, the middle 3 billion people are also will be carrying iPads and iPhones very soon as such. And these devices actually are going to do something very interesting. So these devices are going to be devices where the human being, the device, and the network are going to be the one and the same, are going to be a single unit as such. This is a symbiosis between the network and the human being and the device. And that is what is going to happen. So if that is so, what happens is that you have all these people with all these devices. You probably heard of Internet of Things as such, where the devices are connected to the network. Now the devices, people, and everyone is connected to the network as such. And these people are going to generate a lot of data. And this data could be, and if you've seen many people, we all take pictures. You all have iPhones. And with iPhones, you're always constantly taking pictures all around the place as such, okay? So, and these pictures are loaded onto this network around here. And similarly, you're getting information from your home devices, like your lights, refrigerators, all kinds of things. So you're getting information from so many places. Data, information is coming. And then all this thing is kind of going, what do you do with this thing? So you go through a number of actions in terms of aggregation and composition of this information, and you can detect a situation, and the situation, once it detects, you can kind of take some action based on that thing. Again, the grand challenge problem here is that how do you deal with all this in data information? How do you make sure you can do situational awareness? Here is an example that it gives. And someone is because if you have a phone, your phone has GPS, and the systems can locate where exactly you are in what place. So let's say I'm in location in New York with certain latitude and longitude coordinates, and I get some cough or something like that, whatever it is, okay? And then a lot of people are getting sick in that area, so the system kind of deduces that you have a certain problem, and then says, go to the nearest CDC center at 4th Street immediately, because it knows, detects there is a CDC in there, and then you should go and report as such. So these are the kinds of things you can do with this network-centric computing. And I think the next big thing is going to be the network. That's my personal thing, okay? Network-centric computing as such. And then ontologies are going to play a major role around here because you have all this information. The systems are themselves very complex. The networks are very complex. And the networks have to be resilient as such because part of the network may break and so on, okay? So then you've got to make sense of this data and information. The other major problem that you're going to face is the security of this information, because information is, if you look at your iPod, and this, how secure are these devices as such? How secure are the devices on this information? Can hackers hack into this thing and find out what's going on? And those are the problems that one needs to face. Okay? I think there was one talk on Homeland Security. I'm not going to talk too much about it, but you can see that you have similar problems. In fact, if you take the first two case studies there, which are grand challenge problems, a lot of it is also Homeland Security related in a way. For example, the anthrax case is one of them, where a lot of things were presented all over the place, and people were in hospitals and things like that. And the second challenge also is similar to that thing as such. Now, there is a number of domains which have not been discussed by the panel participants. Like, for example, sustainability is a major domain, especially in the European nations and some of the Asian nations. Natural disasters like the tsunami in Japan, how do you deal with it? And the financial, of course, financial disasters, you know what happened to your stock, especially mine. Okay. So those are some of the things. So now what I'm going to do is to give it, Ernie here who's the one who kind of came up with this $10 million prize. So I will hand over the podium to Ernie.
Ron rejected because I only came up with $9 million. One of the things, attributes of the X Prize is what was presented by Frangione. And the major thing is Geneva gives some thought as to what you're trying to accomplish. And it really is a major, makes a big difference whether you're going to succeed or not. And what you're trying to do are things like accelerate adoption of new technologies. You're trying to increase the awareness of the appropriate applications and the benefits of ontologies. You're also trying to encourage students to participate and get the knowledge of what ontologies are into the, say, K through 12 grades. You want people to pursue this as a career. You have to start at a very young age. You want to advance the technology in the field of ontologies. You want to address confusion and possible automation. You want to decrease the cost of the use and required resources, and that's one of the key ones. Peter also has some list of challenges on his charts on the good works that we need to talk about. Involving the right people, how do you get them involved? One might be a challenge. Compared to current installed systems, you want to make sure that your system is competitive, and you can do challenges to determine the competitiveness. And you want to overcome the current limits of the current technologies. One other thing that's been used for is to actually crowdsource the optimization, the maintenance, and the development of software, which in terms of ontology, that could be a major activity. And there are various models of prizes. The prizes vary all the way from just recognition to $10 million, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. The big advantage, you've got a lot of people who are really knowledgeable in a given area that work on a subject that you would, if you were to let a contract out, say from a government person, you'd only have one organization working on it. You may have 100 working on this problem as a grand prize. So one of the things you need to think about if you're going to do a grand prize or an X Prize challenge is what's the domain you're worried about? What's your objective? Where's your funding, your management? So it's not a simple problem. It's worth thinking through all of the different aspects of it before you try to do it. And I know, Alden, do you want to?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Alden Dima. I'm relatively new to ontology. This is the first time I've participated in the ontology community. One thing that kind of strikes me is that, and I've seen it in the previous tracks too, is that ontology by itself doesn't really stand alone. Like if you want to sell ontology, at least from my perspective, you have to sell in the context. I mean, I've heard that in the previous tracks. And I even see it here with these grand challenges. There are grand challenges that really can benefit from ontologies, but to talk in terms of like a grand challenge for ontology, I think is quite difficult at this point. So that's one thing that at least me really strikes me is that that ontology it can be an enabler, and that it can definitely play a role in making a lot of things better. But by itself, it doesn't necessarily stand alone. There's been some talk, both online and in some of the teleconferences, that perhaps even using the word ontology to sell it may not be necessarily the right thing. Some people have said, you might want to, in fact, just find another way, leave the word ontology out. So anyway, those are just some things that have struck me, and as a newbie into this field. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, so we have some time for questions. Few minutes, yeah, John.
I'd like to emphasize that point that all of these grand challenges really are interesting problems in their own right for which ontology might be helpful. But I think the single biggest grand challenge I see for ontology is making it very easy to develop ontologies and integrate them with legacy software and or any kind of software, integrate them with the semantic web, or in fact, integrate web-based technologies with legacy software. I mean, when the web first came up, 99.9% of the commercial websites all used a relational database. They had excellent integration of web-based technology with conventional software. And one of my biggest complaints about the semantic web is that they did not build on that success story. In fact, they just repudiated the best opportunity they had, which was to integrate semantics into SQL. And I think that that is really where the sweet spot is for ontology. The grand challenge for ontology is to make it very, very easy to integrate with everything.
Okay, John, there are two issues involved here. One is the grand challenge problem, like a problem which is grand challenge in scope. So that problem is, doesn't matter whether ontologies are used or not. What is a grand challenge problem? And the second issue is grand challenge problems for ontology. So we are trying to cover both those in here. The problems you have seen are the grand challenge problems, either the social networking, either network-centric computing, or the healthcare, are grand challenge problems, okay? Now, the Watson-like system, like the example I gave was a trivial thing because you can get it on the web, and the reason why you can get it on the web is that's how I got the information, okay? I went to the Googled it, got that case study, so that's why you can get it. But there are other complex systems. But then even though the doctors still don't get it as of that right now, but that's a different issue. But the Watson-like system for grand challenge is a problem. Then you have the next issue, which is the grand challenge for ontologies. Okay.
I wanted to respond to what this gentleman said about access John. To the data. I'm sorry. John, I want to respond. This on? As a person that works with the spec committees and is frequently a reviewer, the reason why SQL can't be used is SQL's for normalized data, and the semantic web is column-wise data, which is tall and thin, and there's no way SQL can handle that. That's why Andy Seaborn went out and created the Sparkle spec.
Scott? Oh, yes. Yeah, the point I was making is that, yes, the point I was making is that the way the data is organized, whether it's tables or networks, is irrelevant. The data is just data, and the choice of a network data or a table data, a graph data or a table data is just application dependent, and the user should never have to worry about it, whether how you store the data. That's an implementation detail.
Let me summarize what you're saying, John. It's like having a Mercedes-Benz, and then your garage doesn't fit in, so every time you take it to the garage, you dismantle the Mercedes-Benz and go and put it into the garage and put it back again.
That's what you're saying.
That's
not an analogy I would agree with, because ultimately, when we access data, users don't go directly to data and issue SQL queries, and anymore they issue Sparkle queries.
Yeah.
The issue is the existence of the Sparkle specification is because SQL cannot handle column-wise data.
Oh.
It's a non-polynomial.
But
okay, now we are going to have the Fabian rule around here because
those are just trivial issues. The real issue
is that
the way the data is stored should be totally irrelevant. That's an implementation detail, and triple stores and tables are just two examples of an open-ended variety. There's
I'm gonna
no limit
there,
to the number
just
of
two questions,
of
and we're going to stop
data.
Here. Brand and two questions. Yeah, okay, 2 minutes.
I think one of the areas of grand challenge that really should be brought, and it kind of comes on the heels of the Watson idea, is what I would call either trans-semiotic or inter-semiotic, but basically going to making things easy is that some people write, some people draw pictures, some people do a dance. In other words, people express ideas in different ways. And we want to make it so that they can express those things, but we want to use the computer underneath to be able to interrelate and transform and connect up different kinds of images. So you could have, you know, visual presentations that connect to textual and connect to algorithmic activity. So that would be, and that's a big problem because language is a big problem.
Yeah, that's great. Can you just put that on the chat so that we can capture it? And Brandt is the next Brandt.
I think the idea of a grand challenge is interesting, but I don't really think it applies to the field of ontology. I think what is more interesting is the number of challenges that the agencies and others are offering now to foster innovation and creativity. And in the health data area, I've entered three of those, and I've looked at those that I've been competing against. As far as I can tell, none of them yet are using ontology. So I think it would behoove this community to engage in a very active area of competitions like with health data, and to establish a role for ontology in those. Right now, the one I'm working on, we use a Cray computer, we use in-memory processing, advanced visualization, but I yet to see a role for ontology other than maybe capturing the process, process we follow to go about the problem.
One more question? Our time is up. Sorry. But
he's strict on that. Sorry.
But if you notice, our next session is actually a discussion session, so we can probably continue this. But let's focus on the communique now. What we want to do is make sure that at the end of the day, we're happy with what the communique says. And I'm hoping that it's already up here. How do I? Okay. Mike, I don't know if you wanted to present quick over. What is it? Or shrink it? Which one? Control plus or? Is that good? One more?
No, but you're not going to read all of the details. What we'll do is kind of go over some of the key things. I hadn't thought about this before, but I think. Thank you, Leo. I hadn't really thought about this before, but I think maybe it makes sense to spend 5 minutes-ish, maybe a few minutes more, kind of going over the structure. I'm assuming many of you will have read this, but not all of you probably sat down and read the whole 8 pages, one to the other. So. And then we're going to just get kind of open questions and feedback. I believe this is the live Google document, so there's some people in the room who actually have edit privileges. If you see typos or whatever, just go ahead and fix them. I'm not going to worry about that. So where's the scroll down?
You have to get there. You go.
Okay. So essentially, we have reached a point where there's lots and lots of ontology applications out there, okay? But many of us who understand the value of ontology also too well understand and experience the blank stares of people who don't. So really, this whole communique is about addressing those, you know, blank stares, and what can we as technology evangelists do that better explains the value of ontology and better, finds the right people who can benefit from it. Okay, and the point is, you know, we've all talked about how ontology needs to go mainstream, and most of the people in this room believe that it will. Whether it takes 3 years, 10 years, or 20 years, it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen unless people can explain it well, or I should say it's going to happen much more slowly. Okay, so the idea is to produce a set of tips and guidelines to make that possible. So here's a quick little summary. And we'll be talking about this again tomorrow, but and I probably could adapt. There was a similar type of set of instructions in the value team that I hadn't seen before. Possibly I could interject those. Anyway, so essentially, partly this is sales 101, but applied to our particular domain. Okay, so you need to know who your customer is. And those customers are people who are early adopters. Don't talk to the people who are just do it, like to do things their way, and they don't like change. Just don't even talk to them. Find the people who are on the leading edge. And of course, approach people who you think have circumstances that are amenable to ontology solutions, and that's why we have the case studies, so you know what problems are out there that are amenable to solution. Establish relevance. Yes?
I want to back up. You said don't talk to the people who are not on the leading edge, and I would suggest that could be dangerous, because there are more people that are not on the leading edge than are, and the value should be able to be demonstrated to those people also. Now, whether they buy it is another question, because they may be more risk-averse.
Okay, so yes, I don't disagree with the point you're making. What I'm saying is, if you have X amount of time to spend selling ontology, you could spend 10 hours trying to sell it to the person who's not going to get it, or you could sell it to 10 people who kind of are ready to hear it. And so don't spend 10 hours on one person and not quite get there. Spend those 10 hours on people who are likely to get it.
But that's, if that one person has $10 billion and those 10 people only have $1 million each,
then it's a judgment call. Then it's a judgment call. Okay. Kind of like if you make an analogy with healthcare, if you're selling things that people want to do to really advance their health, don't talk to the couch potato who just wants to drink beer and have potato chips and french fries. They're not going to listen. They won't care. Okay. Establish relevance. So you need to understand what problem the current person has, how and why the ontology can add value. This is really critical. I think that's in italics. Show how and why the ontology adds value. That's the story. You need to connect the dots. Here's a problem I have. Here's an ontology. What's the story that says the ontology adds the value? By the way, how long is this session? I want to keep the timing reasonable. Leo? So it's approximately an hour, not quite an hour.
Yeah, but it's really the rest of the day. So what we want to do is, you know, show what the structure is currently, the communique.
Yes.
If you have substantive issues that haven't been raised in the past, then you need three people total to advance it, if you really want to make a change to the communique. A general discussion, we're going to kind of cut it off when it seems reasonable. But the main thing is, if you're happy with the communique as it is, then we can talk about anything we want to. But if you have a substantive issue that you say the communique needs to have, then two people agree with you, then we'll raise that as a substantive issue, talk about it, resolve it, get it incorporated or not. So what Michael's doing right now is basically just laying out the structure and the thoughts behind it.
Thank you, Leo. Okay, so that's good. I'll probably spend maybe another 5 minutes with the overview. So focus on value to the stakeholder, not the technology. This is an issue that's come up over and over again. And obviously, you know, to connect the dots between the value that ontology can give and the circumstances that the potential audience is in. And then, of course, once you have talking to the right people and they have problems that you can help to solve, then you need to convince them that you're the person or this is the technology that really can solve it. So people are going to want to know what else is going on in the industry, who else is doing this, you know, are venture capital companies funding it, this kind of thing. And then, of course, communication 101. Start with concrete examples. Don't talk in wild abstractions. People aren't interested. Be ready with one-liners and elevator speeches. Sometimes that doesn't work because it just comes off as glib, so you know, use that with care. And another thing that I thought of later, which I didn't put in here, and I think I want to stress it, I'm going to try to add a piece about it, is start with your own personal experience. The best thing is, I built an application, it used an ontology, it worked really well. Next best is, I interviewed the people who did this application, I know them and I trust them, it worked great. And then it's down from there, I saw it on the internet, right, or in National Enquirer. Okay, so there you go. So as we saw during the morning sessions, really, the foundation for all of this making a case is what has been happening already in applications of ontologies. We wouldn't all be here today if there weren't hundreds, maybe even a few thousand, I don't know, applications out there that people are already adding value. So that's really the foundation for really the work that we did as a community, and also it's how this the most emphasis is given to that in the communique. So then I kind of told a little bit of a story, highlighted the key ways that ontology adds value. Okay, so reduced complexity, interoperability integration, these things have come out. Reduce maintenance costs, you cannot maintain what you don't understand. So some of the text in here will hopefully help you kind of look at, read it, understand it, and then be able to explain it back to the people. And the story, you know, about another one, flexibility and agility, it comes up over and over again. But where does that come from? Okay, what makes you more flexible and more agile? There's a lot of different ways. For example, if you have less complexity, if you use the ontology to clarify what things mean and you clean out a lot of complexity, great example there with Semantic Arch, who did it, not me personally, but the other guys, many, many databases are built and they have codes. Codes mean a whole host of different things. But you can take 10,000 codes, analyze what they all mean, and maybe end up with 350, okay, just by doing a good, clear ontological analysis. So one of the great benefits of ontology is reduced complexity, but that itself is one of the vehicles for getting, you know, the increased flexibility and agility. Cheaper maintenance costs, all these kind of things contribute, many other things contribute to reduced complexity. Okay, so then we kind of went through more or less summarizing the tracks. There's not a lot to say here that's not already been said. And by the way, I saw some great material today that I wished I had seen last week, because I would have been a better communicator. There was some really good material from RAM and from the value people that summed up really well the kind of work that you did that I didn't see in some of the early stuff. It might have been I just missed it, or possibly you guys did a lot of good work in the last couple of days. If I have time, I'll try to incorporate some of that extra work. Okay. So another thing I wanted to just highlight, I'm not going to go through it, and it's been seen already, was, you know, Mills in their report, Mills and Mike, I don't know whose text this was, but, you know, where are these ontologies being used, and how are they adding value? And it's just about everywhere. That's kind of the answer. Everywhere you look, every industry you look, you know, there's somebody doing this kind of thing. So that's a really good thing. And it's important to dive into these different resource pools. So the communique is 6-7 pages, and there's 220 pages or 200 pages worth of good material that's being referred out to. Okay. So the story is, you know, the three main focus areas were kind of what are we doing here and now, the case studies, the ontology usage framework, and the value metrics. That's all about what we're doing now. And then kind of what we're doing in the future was the grand challenges. We just heard a very nice presentation from that team. And then I presented kind of a lot of the challenge in putting this community together was what's the best way to tell this story in a nice, coherent way. And so it seemed to me that the tracks were, you know, organized. I just sort of put this organization onto it. The here and now, you know, the future, and then kind of the overarching, the strategy really talks about all this kind of thing, okay? It talks about how do you use the case studies in making your case, et cetera. So that's kind of how I decided to organize it. I decided that I really thought this was quite important. Again, people might disagree. They might say, no, you really shouldn't have this table, and we can open that up to the group. But I thought it was quite important to highlight that, you know, ontologies aren't just the benefit by itself. It's really the value it's adding and how you need to talk to different people in different ways. And I thought this is a really nice, snappy little table that summarized that, and I thought it was worth highlighting. You see the little people in the document looking at things. So the other thing that I did in pulling this together was, this is one of the most fun things about this whole exercise, was reading through that list of elevator speeches. Whoever thought of that idea, brilliant, absolute stroke of brilliance, because we got some superb material in there. What I did was I went through every single one, and for each one I kind of said, well, what is this kind of like the underlying theme that this seems to be, you know, talking about? And so four themes emerged. And not surprisingly, they're the themes that we all kind of talk about anyway. So I bundled them together, and under each theme, I just placed, sprinkled a few quotes. And again, these are open for discussion. If some of them you don't like, I already had some feedback from some, oh, this is confusing. That's fine. We can just take them out. It's not a big deal. So ontology is a way of clarifying meaning and reducing complexity is one theme. Ontology is a way to improve agility and flexibility. Ontology is a way to improve interoperability and integration. This theme just comes up over and over and over again. It's very critically important. And then I summarize and conclude and say it all boils down to three things. At its heart, ontology is about clarifying and representing meaning and supporting automated inference. Now, just as an aside, I was aware that this idea of inference wasn't integrated into this communique at all, and I stuck it in at the end. I probably should go back and add a little bit more in the beginning, because it is really quite important to how ontology works and the value it adds. Second, the most prominent value propositions that you keep seeing over and over again in just about any ontology application is, you know, getting people on the same page, getting agreement, and that might be agreeing to disagree, but at least understanding what each other means when they say something. And flexibility and agility, and then interoperable integration. The three core values that seem to be just about everywhere. And the third main thing is, hey guys, we're ready for prime time. The people out there are not ready, because it takes a long time for a paradigm shift to happen. Okay, but the technology is ready. There's no question about that. And that wasn't true probably even 5 years ago. And then I just kind of say that all, summarizing the key things and kind of connecting the dots. So here's just an example, right? So blah, blah, blah. Clarifying meaning and reducing complexity are two important vehicles for achieving interoperability and integration. Someone raised that point earlier. I said, well, what about flexibility? And they said, well, interoperability is one way to get flexibility. And that's absolutely true. So that's part of your task when you try to make the case for people. People are going to ask, well, flexibility, that's nice, but where do you get flexibility from? You need to be able to say, well, it comes from this, and where does that come from? Oh, well, that comes this, and ultimately it comes down to having the ontology and doing the analysis and clarifying the meaning. Todd, did you have a comment?
Yeah, it just occurred to me, again, one of these patently obvious things that may need to be made explicit. It appears to me that seems to be a premise that we're assuming the notion of ontologies and all that surround it, in particular ontological analysis, are only focused on developing these things people refer to as computational ontologies, i.e. things you're going to use in an information system. Is that a correct deduction in terms of the assumptions that's made about this?
So Nicola added a comment in the document. I think that,
well,
I'm inclined not to restrict it that way. I think... Well, let me take a middle ground. I think that we should be building computational ontologies, which is to say it's in some computational machine processable format.
Yep.
So you could at least open up Protégé or your favorite ontology tool and look at it and understand it and have it be documented. So I think we're at least talking about that. It may be useful in that form without being part of an information system that gets delivered.
And that's expressed in that first sentence of the paragraph under three. Fundamentally, ontology is about reaching agreements on things that mean blah, 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 blah.
In a machine process before, yes.
Well, yeah, but that could be one of the possible outcomes. But the first part, reaching agreements about.
Right.
So you have to have some agreement among the people.
Yes.
That are going to use the thing or expect some value out of it.
Yes.
So my possible suggestion is that we may want to emphasize that common agreement part. That this represents some common agreement, and since you have the common agreement, you get all these wonderful benefits. And oh, by the way, you can put it in this machine processable form, so your information systems can represent this commonality and give you flexibility, agility, blah, blah, blah. Or if not, we can ignore it.
Okay. I need a note taker. I should have said this right at the beginning. Is there anyone who loves taking notes? They just like, they thrive on it. Kind of like me. I love taking notes. I see it nod.
We need a scribe.
Yeah, I need a scribe. Does anyone just love taking notes and they do it anyway? They can't stop themselves? I'm like that myself, but I'm up here,
yeah,
so I can't do that.
I can try.
Just a quick comment.
Thank you, Nicola.
About inference.
Could you use the mic, though?
Nicola?
Sharma, just a quick comment.
No, I didn't get that okay. One. You
shouldn't. Talk to him later.
Yeah,
he's taking notes.
I can't get on the network.
No.
Just wanted to put a couple of more words into the inference reference that was made here to put logic, reasoning, and relationships among entities as the base core on which ontologies are based. So those are the areas where people would find easier solutions.
Right, thank you. In fact, I just realized maybe the chat's probably going to be enormous. I don't know that I'll go through everything. But if people who make specific suggestions put in the chat with in capital letters, you know, suggestion, and then I'll scan through it, and I can see all those, and then that will be a way to not have everybody, not have one person rely on the scribe.
And a reminder that if you're raising an issue that really makes a modification or suggests a modification of the communique, that you get two partners to help you out.
That's
to
true.
Support you.
Yeah. Is that? Let me just finish this thing because we're almost done, and then you can decide if that's something that's an issue that needs to be raised high enough, or if it's more a small editing thing that we can talk about afterward. Okay. So I was just at this a simple example of, you know, one little story that connects the dots. Here's the ontological analysis. It provided clarity and meaning, you know, which helped get interoperability integration, which helped, you know, with flexibility and agility, and when that in turn helps you to develop what Mills was saying. I like that. Oh, sorry, right, I'm going. So what Mills said was people get excited not when you do things cheaper, you know, CEOs and bean counters do, but the customers get excited when you do new things. But guess what? When you have lots more agility and flexibility in your IT systems and infrastructure, do you think you can make more interesting products, put them on the market because they don't cost as much, and you have new ways of thinking about things? So that's another end of the chain, okay? Ontology analysis, interoperability, flexibility, new products. Just tap it.
Or thermodynamical entropy. So we could reduce complexity just locally. Anyway, the world is developing based on the expanding complexity at all. So if we consider the system which reducing complexity, we should understand that it's not open system. It shouldn't be self-organized. So if we put the idea about some system can reduce complexity, we hide the very important idea that it's somewhere it should be more. And we should give people the idea what we thinking, or we make a mistake. And
is this a suggestion that
maybe we should remove the reducing complexity because it's impossible if we don't say about this system, open system or not. This is about the synergy theory.
Okay, so your suggestion is
My suggestion to add the words locally, and we should also add something where the complexity will growing, accounts or whatever.
Let me say something as a clarifying point. I think you've raised an interesting issue. You can't make complexity go away. When complexity is real,
yeah,
life is complex.
Yes,
when I'm talking about reducing complexity, and I'm glad you raised this because I realize it's ambiguous, I'm talking about unnecessary complexity. You have a set of codes,
yes,
where meaning is wildly overlapping and intermingled in a completely unclear way. That's very complex and completely unnecessary.
So we shouldn't...
So would you be happy if I said reduced unnecessary complexity? Would that fix the problem?
Yes, but people could understand that something could reduce complexity, that is impossible. Because this is the second law of thermodynamics. We can't do this.
That's interesting. Yes, I'm going to make a proposal.
Clarify this idea.
I'm going to make a proposal that I add the word unnecessary in there. Will that address your issue?
I'll support you.
Okay, great, perfect. Let me finish, and then we'll open it up. Let me finish, and then we'll open it up. Somebody, Michael, you want to add that right now? Edit the document? Or Peter? Okay. Put when you see the word complexity, these are things. When you see the word complexity somewhere, okay. I want to spend another couple of minutes, finish it, and then we'll open up the questions. So there's another important thing that I wanted to say, and that is ontology by itself is a very interesting and useful technology, but most of the time, it's not going to be solving a lot of problems by itself. It's going to be used in conjunction with other important technologies. So I wanted to briefly mention the synergy that exists with some of these other technologies. For example, RDF triple stores, a new way of structuring information, profoundly changes the way people do things. And it adds value all by itself without semantics. That's the basis for garlic. That's the basis for the BBN. It's the basis for this firefighting thing in Amsterdam. A lot of these RDF semantic applications are just using RDF, and it's a new way of structuring things. It's very important. It's a major source of flexibility and agility. Okay, that's the reason the CTO or CEO at Garlic chose that technology. But it has nothing to do with ontology, except that both are tremendous ways to get flexibility. So the message here is there's other technologies out there that when used synergistically with ontology, you get huge value. Others that we've all seen and familiar with, natural language, machine learning, and one that I have personal experience with, similarity technology, kind of statistical. What, just pick a word, what is it similar to? Really profoundly useful. Okay. And
glad you said in conjunction with other technologies. Yeah. Is that what that word is supposed to be, right above the bold? Yeah, right. To your left.
Back.
Yes.
There. Oh, in conjunction. Yeah.
Right. Michael?
It's upside down.
Yes. point it here. Could you point that to Michael? Right there.
Search for the word function. Thank
function.
You.
Yeah, I was afraid it's a word I didn't know, so I.
It's a conjunction of confusion.
And I thought it was fitting to close on this idea of ontology as a new paradigm. I don't know that it's really going to work out that way, but I think it's interesting and it's worth putting the idea out there. And we got a couple of nice quotes. And finally, go forth and ontologize. Okay.
Michael, I've got one.
Thank you, folks. Nicola?
Yes, I would like to go back to the challenges stuff, because my feeling is that this area, the grand challenges, is possibly the weakest one in this communique, because I agree with John. Maybe we've been a little bit too quick in putting this discussion on grand challenges. I guess we should invest a little bit more in discussing this, or
that, possibly
as an alternative, just being more vague about future challenges.
Well, I think actually having seen, I struggled with that because the material I saw, my own imperfections, I was unable to draw out something that I felt was compelling. After hearing Ram talk today, I now can see something that would be that would work. And roughly speaking, let me see if I can summarize this. What did I say in this thing? Yeah, it's coming right up here. Okay. So as you can see, I didn't say a lot about grand challenges. I really stated the beginning, stated out front what the goal was, but it really needs a little bit more. So I want to take some of the health, move on to healthcare a little bit and emphasize the fact that it's multiple technologies that are going to work. That's just a thought. I'd love to have suggestions. If somebody wants to toss me a few sentences to slot in there, that could be great.
Nicola, did you have a suggestion for?
Not on the
okay.
Slide.
Put a comment in the thing that says rework grand challenges. Add more details. Just put a little comment that says add details.
Yeah, maybe track five people.
And we have three people.
I'm second one. Is there anybody okay. else who agrees? Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's some. Yeah.
Seconds in the third, fourth.
Yeah. Just making sure that three people are supporting that suggestion.
So we have a comment.
Yes, I have a couple. I'm Jim Disbro. Last year I spoke for a little bit on the relationships that were needed in ontologies, and I would like to promote what Ravi was saying to something that should be incorporated in here, because the relationship between the entities from a linguistics and semantics point of view is something what is missing. And I've been sitting here looking at things that I saw that were I thought were missing. And he covered it much more succinctly and appropriately than maybe I could. Second thing was, why not take
this? Hold on, before you move on there, can you just summarize what could I add? Do you have a concrete suggestion about what I could add?
Yes.
And where I could add it? Let's do one thing at a time and get votes, and then.
Okay, Ravi, would you like to?
I want a concrete suggestion for an editing change.
The second thing I was going to suggest with the grand prize is this group is qualified to submit to the XPRIZE committee a proposal, and make it a real proposal. Put it into them, because these are the great movers and shakers of society that are making the decisions at the very top. I mean, what's the fellow's name from Virgin Airlines?
Branson.
Yeah, he and a group of other people of comparable wealth and success are actually the ones who make these decisions on which XPRIZEs are going to be awarded, and put it in front of them.
Okay, thank you. That's a good idea. It's not an editing suggestion. Coming back to your editing suggestion, we need two more people to agree that that's an issue before we're going to. Oh, that's right, because there's two already.
Yeah,
is there
one more
person who agrees with the first suggestion.
What's on the floor, Michael? Could you repeat?
Yeah, can you state the issue again?
It's something about relating. I'm not clear on it yet. Something about relating entities to meaning. But I'm not clear.
Underscoring the value of relationships in ontologies, is that the point?
The definition of ontology is relationships among things, right? Is one
okay.
of the basics we
okay.
go with. And so the types, strengths, and importance of relationships is what is going to determine how much complexity we reduce, as you commented.
Okay.
Physicists do this all the time.
Okay.
They can't handle real problems, so they approximate, linearize, just quadratic terms only. They reduce the complexity by various means.
Okay.
We here do in ontology by relationship types, the strength of relationships, importance to a given problem, remove other relationships that are less important.
Okay.
Ravi.
One more person to.
Ravi, what I'd suggest is that you look at the actual communique and let us know where the words could be entered and what you would express, how you would express that.
Thank you.
I don't know who was next, so I'm just going to, because I know that we kind of did a roundabout. I think I saw Doug's hand up earlier.
Yes. Nicola brought this up about 15 minutes ago, and it just seemed to dwindle away, and I don't know where it went. He pointed out that we somehow or other have listed three proposed challenge areas: healthcare, social networks, and homeland security. Now, my question is, how did those three get chosen? Who chose them? Are they locked in stone? Because I think we should have more, and I have one to propose.
I'm going to suggest that that's out of scope. It was already raised that there needs to be more. I'm going to address that.
So how are we going to deal with that?
I'm going to go offline. I'm going to make some changes to the document.
But what are you going to use for feedback?
Well, if you'd like to review it, I'd welcome your feedback.
Well, it shouldn't be just me. I mean, why isn't it everybody?
Well, everybody's welcome to do it, but I don't think in practice it's going to happen.
I think Nicola was suggesting a brief discussion of that topic.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to...
Well, my issue is very succinct. I think we should have more. I think we should propose several more, not 100, but maybe 2 or 3 more. I have one to propose.
Okay, well, I'll let somebody else.
So we think that's probably a substantive issue that requires a little discussion prior to even considering whether we'll modify the communique. So do we want to discuss that right now?
Can I make one comment,
Peter?
First? Yeah, for those who are joining us for the first time, this is the last 2 days of a 3-month process. So it is not something Michael just brought up for discussion.
Yes.
For this group. I mean, we have been doing this for 3 months, and it boils down to this. Yes. And because, I mean, we bring up the issues, we divide it into tracks, we invited the outside people. Yes.
I have a suggestion. Doug, if you have a specific suggestion, put it in the chat, have the word suggest in capital letters so I'll meet it, see it, CC me, and email it to me separately. Although it's better to put it in the chat because I may not get to all my emails. And then have your specific suggestion, and I will, right now, here now, I will ask for 3 volunteers to review the new material so that we have at least some vetting of it. Doug, you can be one. Is there anyone else who wants to read the paragraph or two that gets added? And then we'll have adequate feedback. Graham, that make sense?
Or this is a possibility to do this offline, but maybe we can just allocate, it's a matter of time, we can just allocate some time to properly discuss these challenges, the grand challenges issue, and in this slot, Doug can make his proposal.
Sure. Well, I mean, I don't mind if it takes
a matter of time organization.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this question. How many people are sitting there with issues that they regard as really important? Not minor things or, you know, medium things, but really important. So we've got, Doug's got another one. Okay, we got several people to go. So I propose that we don't spend any more time on this because we've got several more to go.
What I suggest is that we maybe address the issues first, and if we can resolve them, then we'll have more time to discuss this.
We want to maybe capture that on the chart.
Well, that's a good idea.
I realize that there is a chat, but not everyone's watching the chat. So
that's a good idea, Michael. So, Leo, we're going to enumerate these particular issues that are important, and then if we can resolve them, they get resolved, and then prioritize the ones that are not resolved.
So, I mean, we have limited time, and we want to address this discussion, but we want to make sure the issues are addressed first. And the issues will be, tell us your issue, and if you have 2 other supporters.
So I don't know who raised their hand first. I did see Mills just now on the substantive issue. So I'm going to suggest that you take up to a minute to state the issue.
Yeah, I'll take less than that.
Okay, and then we'll see what to do with it.
I asked myself the question as I was going through this, would I use this document with my clients? And my answer came up no. And part of the reason is that I feel that in the writing we still need to go further from the standpoint of tone and simplification of language. I mean, the sentences are long, the voice of the people are there, and I would hope we would take time to really look at this from the standpoint of how does this read to somebody who, again, has limited experience with ontology or could be read well from a business perspective.
Well, actually, it's not targeted at people who have limited experience with ontology. It's targeted at people who have significant experience and who already get the value. Yeah. It's not intended for you to give to your clients. It's intended for you to give to semantic and technology evangelists.
Peter, you have a comment real quick.
Right, right. I was trying to make exactly.
I'm happy to have Mills respond to that.
My response to it is that when you write stuff in clear, English, you know, the ideas behind ontology are not rocket science. You know, we all represent ideas and so on, and there's a need to be a clarity. When I get 24-word sentences, like, regularly, you know, and there's not a variation regularly, then I'm not even sounding like normal speech patterns.
Okay.
So there's just a kind of an editorial pass that needs to be made to kind of break sentences apart, look and see if they're action-oriented, just really finalize it. I think we've done the effort of synthesis, but we have not done the effort of really focusing it to communicate to audiences.
And remember, this has to be completed today.
Well, in that case.
Well, actually, I agree, Mills. I would love to have someone walk through it like yourself or anyone who really has a good sense of style and writing and breaking things up and to tidy it up. I agree that it could do with that work. So I've got this up there. Let's move on to the next issue. I don't think there's any more that we can discuss on that. So, Corey.
Now, as I read this, it starts with ontology-based solutions. It doesn't define those. I think one of the biggest challenges even your evangelists face is communicating to their stakeholders what these solutions are. I would think that the summary should include a concise statement about what you're including in ontology-based solutions. I am not going to offer words to that effect in this august group because I would hope that perhaps there's something, maybe from one of the past workshops that we could draw on to put in here. But it has to be business-focused, clear, concise, to really make it clear what the scope of these ontology solutions are.
Do we have two other folks that support that?
Are you supporting it, or are you asking the question? So you're supporting that.
Okay, what I suggest is if you can frame that as a text, in terms of text, and put it in the chat board.
Do you have a good idea of what you would like to say about that? I'm not asking you to say it now, but if you do and you want to write it up in words, that would be the easiest.
Corey?
I'll work on it and try and circulate it.
Corey?
Yeah.
Corey, I'm confused about what you're asking for. What is the intent? I'm sorry. I'll be over there. But what is the intent of that rephrase?
Okay, remember
what is it that you don't, what?
Our focus is on changes to the communique. So we want to, if you have a proposal to change the communique, then we'll address it. And I think if you can phrase what best you intend by this, then we can consider it for the communique.
But I think he was saying he wanted to see a definition of ontology included.
No, I didn't hear that. I heard he wanted to hear a definition of ontology-based solution, which hopefully doesn't involve dredging up all that old material.
You can always cite previous summits.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we in fact had a summit where we addressed, what ontology was and the range of technologies.
So
instead of me offering something, perhaps those that were deeply involved with that, if there is text we can lift out of prior work, maybe that would be the best way to do it.
Well, do you really want a definition of ontology and then ontology-based solution is fine, or do you really want something specific about ontology-based solution as a whole?
In reading a document, whenever I run across terminology that's not defined, that's not in common. So that's the first, that's in the first sentence.
Okay.
So that's why I picked up on that.
Okay.
You could approach it by defining ontology or ontology-based solutions.
Do you personally struggle, do you personally not know what I mean by that, and you wish this to help your own clarity, or do you think it's going to be?
I'm sure I understand what I think you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
The question is, will this be an issue?
Could you write that down on the chat board then?
Will this be an issue for, in your opinion, Corey, do you believe this will be an issue for many of the people who this is intended at, which is to say people who already get ontology, they already get the value of ontology, do you believe that they will be confused and not know what is meant by that term?
If this is intended as a paper to give them guidance on how to present ontologies, if you can't present the word, you can't present ontologies.
Yeah, well, I think that we assumed here many definitions that are not expressed in the communique. So we in fact tried to avoid defining again what an ontology was. So I think that if we can point back to our previous efforts where we synopsized as a community what an ontology was, that would probably be sufficient. This is not, if you will, a standalone document that has everything in it that requires saying. We have supporting material, and in fact, we have the history of these summits, for example, where we have addressed some of these issues.
Should we let that issue drop and move to the next one?
What I'd suggest is some folks, if you'd like to point back to a previous discussion or definition we've had in the past for ontologies, then we can probably insert something like a URL that says for further information about this important topic, you see this discussion.
It could be a footnote. I mean, frankly, someone who already gets ontology and gets the value isn't going to need a definition. We don't need a pointer to the intended audience.
Well, I think we do.
Okay.
So I think the last two starred issues speak to a theme here, and it seems to me they're very much related, and that is this is intended to be a communique for people who get ontologies, but to enable them to communicate to people who do not.
Right.
And the more business language we can put in this,
yes,
in terms of making it simple, defining our terms in terms that business people would get, I think we would be far better off. So I see these as just variations on the same issue.
Right, I agree, that's true, there's a link.
The issue here is one we've addressed in an earlier telecon, which is there is a little bit of disagreement over who the intended audience is. And I think maybe Mills, you were thinking the intended audience for this document are potential clients, and I think we were saying that the intended audience is or people like us.
Who's the guy I have to convince in an organization? I've got business people, I've got technical people, I've got so on. Clear writing is always good.
Look, I'm not denying that, but this is not the case. This is really strategies for making the case, and
yeah,
we're
you're
the ones
not
going
to give
the
communique to your client.
Yeah,
right. You're going to ingest what the communique says, and then present.
Can I, knowing your audience, the communique should. If the communique can't communicate simply,
yes,
then how is it going to help the people it's aimed at to communicate simply?
Thank you.
I think that's it. It needs to be an example of what it is helping people to do.
Well,
can I chip in something on that?
Yeah. Well, the issue is that we don't want to really try to cover all the ground we've covered in all the summits so far. So we want to make progress, and now everything can't be in this communique. Communique has specific purposes, and it's really it's for us as a compendium to tell the folks who are not involved in ontologies about it, but they are not necessarily the readership. We're the readership.
Can I just make one quick point on that? We started out very clearly at the beginning, and I think this is still the case, that the audience for this is people like us who get ontology. But rather than referring back to one definition of ontology from a previous summit, one of the first things we recognized in our early sessions was that what different people meant by ontology in our field, among ourselves, was different. And that's why we had the track one with the different use cases and the different meanings of what it is to be an ontology.
In fact, I mean, a previous summit, we addressed this. We spanned communities. We had folksonomies, we had taxonomies, we had ontologies, we had conceptual models. And that was the focus of that symposium and the entire summit, 3-month period. So we don't really want to, we know that there's different definitions, and we can refer back to that previous discussion, but we don't want to rehash it.
I'd rather refer to track one framework. It's the work's done.
No, that track one does not tell us what an ontology is. It tells us how an ontology is used. That's why earlier I suggested we include a link, a pointer from there to tell people what ontology is. I still suggest we do that.
Yeah. What I'm going to suggest may be frustrating to some, but some of these discussions we're having right now were discussions we had about a month ago during the 3 months.
And I know that some people feel strongly about these things, but we're not going to be able to complete if we reopen discussions we've had. And it sounds kind of mean to say, you know, we had a three-month period to bring up these issues. All we can do this afternoon between now and 6 is to edit what we have. I don't think we can rephrase the whole thing. I mean, it's too late for that, unfortunately.
Amanda had a comment. She had her hand up quite a while.
My comment is that I think that actually there's a simpler way to partially address this, and it is one that's been discussed during the previous telecons, which is partly what Mike Bennett just suggested of referring to the framework part, but that reference doesn't have to be a massive inclusion of every variation of what's in there. It's simply that as the communique reads right now, it does suggest that a single definition of ontology is being assumed. That is what I think is causing the reactions. And simply making explicit that that these both the framework and the variation across the framework and the previous conversations are in the background here, and the variation is acknowledged. Mike, when you said we don't need a definition for people like us, that's not true. If we believe, it's true that all of us have a definition of ontology. We don't share one. So as long as we're acknowledging that we are varying across that, we're not going to, I think, have a problem. But if it reads just as an assumed shared definition, that's when we get a problem.
Leo?
That we phrase a maybe a sentence or two, propose it, and propose which section it should be added to. And I think we have at least three people who are interested in that. But we need something concrete to add to the communique without leaving it open-ended.
There's a question that's been in the air for a while.
So, is this on? Do we have an inventory of computational ontologies, and we can reference that inventory, right?
Is there an inventory of computational? There's lots and lots of them. I don't know of any one that's the most commonly referred to one. Is there one that I'm not aware of?
Well, if we don't have one, we should be the group creating it.
That's a separate issue, and
it's
I don't
disagree.
It's a separate
issue, but we do have a list, at least for our community, that we started off with use cases, correct? I think we've got lots and lots of inventories of what we mean when we say computational ontologies over the last, what, how many years have we been doing this, Leo?
Yeah. I mean, so we don't have a repository, right? What we're interested in is actually having an ontology repository. Otherwise, we have its ad hoc list of ontologies that people have worked with. We don't have time to consolidate that in 2-3 hours today. I think that it's useful. We all know of other repositories, mostly informal, that exist. But to actually make that explicit here, it's just too much, I think.
Let me just ask one simple thing to get at the heart of what the issue is. If I change the wording to, we've now reached the point where substantial numbers of people are deploying ontologies in a variety of systems and applications, blah, blah, blah. Would that change anything, or does the exact same objection remain?
That helps. I mean, the whole notion that it's just a niche that a small number of adopters are using, really, it's not my experience. We also, in the federal government, have expanded use cases and successes of the UCOR ontology.
Right.
That's been commanded for all DoD users to use. So there are a lot of people in DoD, and we have a lot of adoption. So I think that we do have the open ontology repository. We have other repositories, as Leo's pointed out. Maybe just a pointer to some of those It's all we
pointer,
need here.
Corey, would that address your concern, a pointer to a list of ontologies?
I mean, the fact that we're afraid to define our term is a bit scary.
No, we've gone down that route and haven't 2 million times before, and that's not the goal of this.
I understand. So I would assume then, since you've gone down that route, we have a result of that route, which would be a paragraph we could insert. That's all I'm looking for.
I could insert something and hope that people would agree with it, but they might not. And then what?
Process, put the word suggest in the chat, get a second and a third, then it comes to the floor. We hold on to
something. Right. I'm happy to put it. I wondered whether I should or not and decided not to, but I have no objection to having to go at putting a sentence in. I could just copy the sentence from Wikipedia and call it.
Yeah. So I would suggest putting the suggestion on the chat room.
And then,
if we have, what we're doing right now is really collecting suggestions.
Right.
Then we're going to kind of incorporate, but we want to make sure we get all through all the suggestions first, and then some will require perhaps a larger discussion than others.
There were two or three more issues out there. One was yourself, I believe. I forget your name. I'm sorry. Did you not have a substantive issue, as well as commenting on the previous issue?
I think I covered my issue.
Okay.
My issue really was to address the expansive number of computational ontologies that this group itself has sponsored and has seen come to bear fruit in the federal government. I mean, we've done great work, guys. We need to take some credit for it in the community.
So you want a pointer to bolster the case? Okay. Oh, perfect. Great. Real time. Perfect. Oh, where do you want it to go?
Well, wherever it was.
I don't know, because I just bumped it. Oh, okay.
One more. It went to the next page, I think. There it is. The bottom of
the page. Is that adequate, Corey?
Can I, again, on this issue concerning the definition of ontology, it is true that there is no definition here, but I'm convinced that a general common understanding of what ontologies are already emerges from this document. Ontologies are as a way to explain, to clarify the meaning, and so on. So the differences in the various definitions, which are still there, they are there, but are more at the more technical level. So maybe we can just make clear that, let's say, use a general term, general, maybe vague definition, pointing to the technical varieties in the document, and we can go on, possibly. I'm convinced that a person who reads this document gets an idea of what we mean by ontologies.
Right. This is Corey.
Yeah.
If I highlighted this earlier on. Okay. That's okay. Well, would this serve as the role that Nicola suggests, and would that be? Okay.
Michael? Michael?
Let's move on. I think we've got more or less clarity and agreement on this. So Doug had a separate issue raised. Peter, did you have something else to add on this issue?
Yes. Just a conclusion to this debate. I'd like to quote George Strong again. He at one time said, the life science people don't really know what life is either.
Here, here. That's true. Thank you, Peter. Doug had an
issue. There's a word missing from this document, which I find very surprising, frankly, and the word is tool.
Tool. Is that
the word tool, I don't think, appears in the document. I think tools are a very important part of what we need to do here. I've worked on tools myself for 30 years, and as a tool man, I'd like to see the word tool in there.
Excellent.
It's not what he means, though. All right, so let's see if there's two other people that believe this is a substantive issue that requires discussion.
I mean, tool or solutions is one.
So
Doug, maybe you could make a suggestion.
I don't mean tool in the sense that it's used there. I mean a piece of software that you use to design knowledge bases or ontologies.
So how do you want that to appear in the document to help people make the case for ontology? I'm hoping for a suggestion. I'm not saying bad idea. I'm asking for a suggestion. How would we put that in, and how would it add to the making the case?
Well, I think we have to make the point that we need good tools, and there's a lot of research that has yet to be done to develop good tools, and we're working hard on it. And managers and business people have to realize that they can't get into this kind of thing without good tools. They have to be warned about that, and the point has to be made that we're working on them and they're coming down the tube, but we're not quite there yet.
Actually, I have a suggestion for that which would fit in very well. So early on in the document, I'm not going to go find it, but I said it's important to instill confidence. And how do you instill confidence? You instill confidence by saying the technology is mature and ready. And right there would be a perfect place to say that there's tools out there that are mature and ready to go. And that's true. There's triple stories of people.
Well, you can say there are some good tools out there, yes, but I don't think the tool designing building thing has come to an end.
No,
I think it's got ways to go.
However, in making a case for ontology, people want to know not that better tools are coming along, they want to know that there are good tools that they can use today.
Okay, fine. I'm quite happy with that statement.
You happy with that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So make a note, Michael, if you could put a comment or, that says, go to where it says instill confidence. Just put a little quote, little comment that says, add a comment about tools are mature. Thank you.
I won't buy mature. Okay. I don't think our tools are mature. I think they're very immature.
Well,
however,
okay,
we won't say that.
That.
We won't dare to say that. We don't want to wake up managers to the fact that there's an immaturity here.
Okay.
But we should, amongst ourselves, admit that our tools are still not mature. But we can say there are good tools out there. I mean, there's good tools out there, and lots of people are using them.
I don't think we can discuss. Actually, we're at break time, but Rex has had his hand up. So, Rex, on the phone, maybe you're muted. Star three. Rex.
He's writing.
I didn't know we'd been muted that way. Can you hear me now?
You need to speak up. You're very soft.
Okay. Well, I'll let Steve speak for me, but there's a suggestion. In fact, there are two suggestions on the chat that have already got three people behind them. So I'd like to make sure that we get those covered while we're in session now.
What is it, though? We can barely hear you.
I can speak to it. I'll
let Steve say
Steve?
It.
Yeah, basically, I think Rex is simply raising the point that if we had a process which was to put suggest in the chat, get a couple of people to buy it, write the text that was suggested, that's been done twice now by two different parties. So what do you want to do with that?
Yeah, let's incorporate that.
To discuss it,
if
or
if they're easy suggestions, somebody can just edit it in, Nicola or Michael.
All right.
Well, yeah, but we still want to make sure that three people at least support it as an issue. And then what we're trying to do is actually get the issues out now, the changes that are suggested, and then actually making the changes after that.
Are there any other issues that people still need to raise? There's one, two, and three.
Okay, the other point is that we're scheduled for a break. We can continue or we can take a break.
Continue. Go ahead and break as far as I'm concerned. I can talk this over offline.
Okay, so that leaves two.
Okay, are we taking a break or not?
This ID the issue.
Well,
I just had a quick suggestion. I think you should insert a paragraph that says
microphone. Put it on the chat. Put it on the chat. Get two people to buy into it, and then it gets registered.
Please, if you have something, put it on the chat.
Hello.
About technology readiness and maturity of available tools, we should just include a couple of sentences on that to show that.
So you would need to make a suggestion, an explicit suggestion that we can consider and then add to the communique. I think this has been raised in second and thirded. Okay, looks like we're continuing on, or are we taking a break?
We've only got one more.
One more?
This gentleman up.
Hi, I'm not connected to chat, so I wasn't able to get any votes yet. Earlier in the discussion, we had when touting a lot of the abilities of the ontology, we mentioned that with the caveat of it being implemented correctly, with our target audience of being people who are early adopter, early innovators, it seems that a lot of people may have already tried ontological solutions in the past, and it may not have worked out very well for them. So what I'm proposing is that, at least in the confidence section, at least a bullet point or something of information evangelicals can use to help give confidence to people who may have been made aware of in the past about what ontologies can do, but who aren't confident that would actually work out.
Do we have two others?
Does that make sense? Any clarification? Or?
Two others, and hopefully somebody with access to chat. There's one. Okay, two. Okay, that's an issue. Can you make a suggestion, maybe Matthew, because he doesn't have access to chat.
Yeah, so I think everyone would like to have a good answer. Do you have one that we can put in the document?
That's what they're going to put in the chat.
The only thing I've been able to think of so far and I've used in the past is the actual process of collecting data. So let's say even if it, in the past, so the business users, you know, put all this money towards developing ontology, it didn't work. But even that process has given them some value, has given them a better understanding of what they have, has organized their data into something that you can then convert. So even if the ontology you create doesn't work directly initially, you can still make it into something later on because it is in such a easily usable and computational form.
That's certainly a true thing to say. I could add it in if people think it's a good idea.
Yes. The actual process itself gives you value add regardless of the actual success of your of what you're trying to accomplish at that moment.
Ravi is working on something towards that end.
Yes, I'm almost ready. Go to Amanda. And then
the UCore example. Can you put some text in the chat to suggest what I could say about that?
Well, what's the question?
I can just give you a link to the NEM UCore success stories. I mean, they're published, they're presented to Congress, and have been for the last several years. So
how is that going to help?
One clarification, though: UCore is not an ontology. UCore is not an ontology. No, I mean, there's UCore. There's UCore SL. No. UCore is a XML schema base for. No. It's.
Maybe it's a good time for a break.
Yeah. So maybe we should take. Let's take a 10-minute break. And regroup.
Everybody, head to the bar and get a martini.